welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Interview. Today, I have a fabulous director, writer, and this is her thesis, I think, but she'll correct me if I'm wrong. I have the director of The Goons, Alexis White. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So is this your thesis?
Yes, it is.
All right, so let's discuss this. How do you present a thesis? Like, do you have to go to your teacher and show them exactly shot by shot, or how does this all work?
So essentially, this is the final class that you take for the television production major. So you've done all this work the past 4 years, and this is, okay, do you know how to make an episode? Can you do this? So at the beginning of the semester, everyone pitches their ideas for different pilots they would want to shoot. And we had our producer, Jose, he pitched this idea for Goons. And the producer, once your topic is picked, so two people's were picked, you create your crew from there. So he had chose me to be the director. So we casted, we did our auditions, and our professor essentially each week was logging in our progress. And then I believe it wasn't until March, that last week of March, that we actually started filming. But our semester started in January. So all that time we were doing all the pre-production work. And then, yeah, we were able to present it the first week of May. But our professor was pretty much checking in on us every single week and was giving us the okay. We did have a lot of freedom with what we wanted to put on the episode, but he was definitely giving critique in a good way.
So how does it feel being a director and people seeing it like me? This is not just your classmates or your friends or even relatives. I'm somebody you don't know, and you've never really put your work out there before that I know of. So how does this feel?
For me, it feels really good because I want people to understand my comedic timing, like the comedy I'm interested in, because I feel like you don't see a lot of black women, female directors that are really like into that sort of sitcom comedy like The Office. So I just wanted to show that side of it too. And also, I don't think a lot of people knew I was into that type of stuff. So it feels good being able to actually like put it out and people watch it and give me good feedback.
So are you a director since your first time? Do you actually read the reviews, or you're like, nope, not reading those. I'm happy. I'm moving on.
So I love reading reviews because I love critique, but I have only seen one review on it. So I'm not sure if there's others that I'm missing, but I love reviews.
Well, to let you know a little secret, my interviews tend to do fairly well, so about 300 people will be listening to your interview, and we can tell them right now, it's available on YouTube, if I correct?
Yes, it's uploaded on YouTube, so I just decided right after we showcased it, I was like, all right, the link's free to all you guys, just watch it. And it ended up getting a good turnout, considering we only had like 10 views on it because it was just shared between our little group of like the editor, the producer, we had just watched it. And then I was like, I mean, this is the final, let's just put it out. And over the course of like a couple weeks, a good amount of people have seen it.
Well, that's great. Well, I hate to tell you, one of your actors sent me this link, so you should talk to him about sending out things you shouldn't be.
Okay, I'll make sure to get on him.
So let's start at the beginning of the film. You have an establishing shot across the street, and I like the wide angle you used. I find that really works for the location. Now, why did you decide to do such a big establishing shot right off the top?
I think we needed to establish where they are as far as what class they're in and where this is located. I wanted everyone to get the idea that they aren't super rich and they're kind of in just a random area, like worn down part. So I needed that to be clear before we got into any of the characters. And that's why I wanted it to start that way, so that people could get an idea of what they were going to find inside.
Well, what we find inside, I would say, is a bunch of misfits for the most part, I would say. I don't think any of them really have a defined job. of somewhat, which you, I mean, you do address a little bit, but you really don't go into a lot. Now, was that ever addressed throughout the film, or did you have, I mean, you wrote this, so did you ever look at developing depth for them, or is that going to happen in future episodes?
So actually, I did want to clarify that Jose actually wrote this script.
Okay.
So I just directed it, but there were things that were rewritten and that I did contribute to. But he actually had written the script, I believe, off of his own experiences. I think himself, he's had these sort of friends before. But we actually do dive into it a teeny bit more. However, within our thesis, we had some hard time constraints, meaning this episode, yeah, this episode's actually 34 minutes. But for the purpose of this project, we had to condense it to 20 minutes. So within that, there's a lot of information that we could definitely expand more on, but we were trying to get the short, quick version of it so that everyone got the point.
Now, casting of the film, I mean, this is just not students you have in this film. There are actual working actors in this film.
Yes.
So how did you find the casting process? I mean, you obviously, as director, you were very much involved in this, I would presume.
Oh, yes, definitely. Because I think for the type of show we were going for, when you're going for that Office, that Parks and Rec style, you can't miss a beat. Like, the comedy just has to hit. So I just wanted to make sure the actors we chose could understand the timing and the chemistry. We had several auditions where we would just have them individually come and just get a good idea. And we're like, okay, I like him, but do we like him with the other boys? Do we like him with this? So we did multiple auditions, as I'm sure every director does, but because we just needed the chemistry to hit, because it's just four guys. Like, that's not interesting, but if we can see them with that chemistry, and it'll make you remember, oh, I remember when I'm with my girls, when we go out, we have these moments often.
So, did you have anything to do with the set design, or do you guys have people that are in the set design program doing that?
So we did have a production designer and costume person. However, I kind of made the final okay. So I set up most of our locations.
Okay, so I want to go back to the room. You have Rubik's Cubes. Why are the Rubik's Cubes? I mean, those things are ancient.
Okay, so hopefully within our opening sequence, people were able to gather an idea of who each character was based off of their area, their station. So we did use the Rubik's Cube because personally, when I'm thinking of a Rubik's Cube, I'm thinking, okay, someone who's smart, someone who's a little bit nerdy. And we put those in Sal's station because he's kind of the geek of the group. The one who really doesn't fit in. So we kind of put it in his station to also symbolize the type of guy he is. But I will say that was our production designer's choice. She found those things and I was like, wow, that was actually smart. That was good.
Now, you're making me laugh because you just called Chad Weisenheimer smart. So we'll get back to that later.
Yeah.
Being a director and shooting with no music, and then being a kid, I guess what I'm saying is you grew up with music videos. So almost everything you watch has music in it constantly. Like, you have iPods with music. You listen to music. I mean, it's just your culture. It's not mine because I'm too old for that. So how is shooting on a set with no music? I mean, you obviously have something going through your head, or are you able to director shut that all out and go, yep, I need music here, make a note to yourself and put it in later?
So what we did in particularly was I knew any music I wanted had to be within either the montage or just closer to the end. So this choice was on purpose because we wanted our sound to compensate for not having music because of the style we were going for. Music, I didn't feel like it fit the tone during their dialogue. So I wanted it within the transitions or in a moment where there isn't dialogue, because I think that's the important part we want to see, is we want to see the awkwardness. We want to feel like like we need those little space, dead silent spaces there. So that was something I was really appreciative, because we had an amazing sound team and they just added little things like the music off the headphones or the birds chirping or the trash bins in the back. And I think that compensates for our lack of music, and it was a choice.
So being a first time director, what did you find the most difficult thing doing?
I think the most difficult thing is, I would say we had this issue where it was between like the producer and the AD and all of us. And it was like, I think we need to do longer shots. I think the shots need to be longer. Like, we're taking too long with the setups. And I was like, well, I think we need to do shorter shots. And this, and then we ended up doing longer shots, which we were able to fix it in the editing. But I think going back at it, just having a better idea of exactly what you want before going into it would help. Like, just if I would have written a little bit more, okay, this is where we need the next setup, even though it'll tell you, you know, in a scene break when something new is happening. But I think just knowing, okay, this needs to be a different setup right here. We've got to switch location in a better way. So that I think that's what I would have done, is just dove into the script a little bit more, watched a little bit more, watched a couple more episodes of The Office or something like that, just to understand the style, because you have professionals who are doing this and are very comfortable doing it. And when you're a student, you don't want it to look like you're a student. So I think I would have just dove into and studied it a little bit more.
Did you find inside shooting easier than outside shooting, or did you find them exactly the same?
I would say easier for sound purposes. I think when we went outside, especially to the parks, there were airplanes, there were this, and then you have to get it done very timely. The moment you switch, the sun's changed, it doesn't match. So I think that was the one difficulty we had, and we had to have some reshoot days. But again, all of this is just great learning process, because now I'm not going to repeat that same mistake. We're not going to shoot the same scene on two different days at two different times when we're outside. It's not going to match. And we actually had that issue in one of our scenes. I don't think anyone caught it. Maybe they did. But one of our actors, Corey, he could not make it the day that we were shooting the montages. So the next day, you know, we shoot it again, but we shot it in the morning. And the last scene we had done was in the evening towards like 4 p.m. So we're doing it. We're like, this is not going to work. We can't do this. So we tried to mask it by saying, all right, I've got this idea. Everyone move in the shade. We're going to shoot it over here so that people won't be confused with the time of the day, because that was my error. It was all of our errors. We were oblivious to it. We didn't realize, oh, so I was like, all right, let's put us in the shade, try not to catch the light. And that's why that scene was so tight, but I don't think anyone knew. Hopefully not.
No, definitely not. Now, being a director, do you find after having a thing, it's in the can, it's edited, it was an enjoyable experience or more of a learning experience?
I enjoyed it in the sense that I was like, okay, this is what I want to do, because I had actually been an actress for some time, just trying to like get my way in there. And I was like, I really just want to be on camera. And I was starting to just wonder, like, what am I trying to do with studying TV production? Like, I can't really work on the acting side of it. So for me, directing was the closest thing to acting, honestly. So I was able to grow to love it. Like 12 hours on set, I was like, wait, this actually goes fast because you're involved in it. You get to have like your choice. So I think for me, I realized I enjoyed it so much.
Did you do your own location scouting, or did you have a team do it for you?
We all did it together. So essentially we were a group of 10 for our group. So I believe Jose and our AD, they would like find certain locations, and I was like, oh, okay, I know this park. And they, the warehouse, we had to do some thinking of our own. And that's where our professor was very helpful, because there's certain things that we thought would look visually nice, but did not. So he was like, you guys need to do like a loft. You guys need to do something like that. I was like, actually, that's a great idea. That's going to look a little bit more lively than a bedroom or something like that. So we scouted them ahead of time.
How was the weight room? That's what I really want to discuss. Lighting of the weight room and shooting in a weight room. They're really not exciting places.
Weight room, as you mean the gymnasium? Or?
Yes, the gymnasium. You actually shot with weights behind the person.
Oh, okay. Oh, there were weights behind there. Are we talking about... Are we talking about the basketball scene?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. I just didn't know what weights you were talking about.
Oh, sorry. I should have wrote down gymnasium. My mistake, not yours.
No, no worries. That's fine. How is that? So... Initially, we had wanted to just go for your classic gymnasium, you know, like brown floors, you know, just really recreational. But we had an issue with the scouting, so we had to actually do it at our school, which I didn't want it to throw off the tone too much because it was kind of a nicer gymnasium when, again, we're trying to go for that rougher look. But it was actually extremely well lit. So I think we lucked out with that. And we had a phenomenal cameraman that he was just moving it as we went. Because we were with the Steadicam too. So I would say that was probably one of our easier days. And I think it was easier because we rehearsed the choreography for the basketball scene weeks before.
Oh, good. You just set up my next question perfectly. Now, I know Chad Meisenheimer very well. Has no coordination skills at all for basketball. So I would like to know, how hard did you have to work with him to choreograph his basketball scenes?
Okay, so I think, again, this goes back to the way our group had so much chemistry. Believe it or not, majority of them actually had played basketball. That wasn't a requirement, but they just did. And if you actually watch, Chad has to probably do the least amount of work out of all the basketball stuff. So it's pretty standard as far as as far as Corey, who has a lot of dribbling moments, all of that, he's actually a college basketball player. So he was very experienced. And the cast kind of helped me myself because I don't really know basketball sufficiently. So they were actually able to help me too with some pointers on how to do this. So I think the cast really helped out a lot with this as far as, you know, where to throw the ball in, like what's actually real. Because again, we're not trying to make them professional basketball players. That's not it. We're trying to show how bad they are, but how do we show it in a way that isn't obvious that we're trying to make them look like too bad?
So you just told me you don't follow basketball. So you're walking into a gymnasium shooting a basketball scene. I got a weird question. I know you want to be a director. It's your thesis. You're kind of thrust in here. How does that feel, shooting something you have no concept of understanding?
I think the reality of it is I have played sports. So I've played soccer and I have watched basketball before. Do I know every single rule? No. But I think before then I did a lot of research. Like I was watching just different episodes of how they did shoot basketball. Like there's this scene in Love and Basketball. And I just wanted to go back and just see, okay, how do they shoot basketball? What is the main focus? When do you need to show them and when do you not need to show them? Like, do you need to show how physical they're being? And I think I just watched a ton of episodes. And again, with the cast, like we were just able to talk about basketball and different setups. So for me, I personally feel like as long as I do the research beforehand, I feel pretty confident when walking into like a new challenge.
So the sketches at the beginning of each character, was that your idea or somebody else's idea?
Jose had the idea that we should do something animated. And I think we all chimed in and I was like, yeah, it could be like on paper or something. So he reached out and found this animator, or this artist and we showed her, Spider-Man Far, Far Away From Home, their, introduction, kind of something similar. And we were like, we would really like this because we felt like it would separate us from just a normal title sequence where you see their face and something like that. We felt like having that version of it would just show how fun they are. And again, within the title sequence, there's little images that should describe the character. If anyone forgets, like, okay, wait, what was Drew supposed to be? Or what's Sal? So we tried to have little images next to their faces that showed and represented them.
Okay, continuing on. Will there be a Goons 2 of B'nai Chance, or you don't know? Or is this because it's a student thesis, or is no Goons 2 going to be available?
We have the freedom to do whatever we want. We can continue working on it. I would like to extend this episode a little longer because, as I said, some stuff was cut out. And I think eventually, like, we would definitely want to try to pitch this to make this just a shorter series, something like that.
Now, you finished your thesis. Do you go to your master's now, or are you done school?
I personally am done with school. I have no interest to do my master's. I think I've learned a good amount of stuff, but I'm ready to get like my foot in the door and work on the next project.
So as a director, what do you look for in a project, or how do you apply for a project, or do you even follow that in school?
So for me as a director, I'm looking for a project, something that obviously I will take. I want to get as much experience as I can with anything, and I try not to turn down opportunities, but I try to make sure any project I'm in like doesn't go against like my morals or things I would support, you know? Like, I'm not just going to take something on that completely does not represent myself or something like that, because I want to make sure I add my own flair into any project I do. That's why there were even some jokes that we cut out. I'm like, dude, no, that's not what I'm about. Let's cut this out. No, I'm not going to have that, you know, behind my name. And there's certain things you can't control. So I think for me, when I'm looking for a project, one, I'd love something that's a little bit different and out there, a different story. And two, I just think, does this represent me? Like, it's going to have my name behind it. And I think that's really important. Like, when you're putting your work out there, this is a representation of yourself in some sort of way.
Okay, now we're time for some fun questions, not about your film. So you had an opportunity to do your research about me. If you didn't, then you're out of luck.
Oh, yeah.
Your favorite film?
My favorite film... What genre?
Doesn't matter. You can say anything you want.
Parasite.
Okay, so you're... Okay, a little new, but we'll let you have it. It's an excellent film. No problem. Number two, favorite actor you would like to work with in the future?
Recently, as far as a guy, Sebastian Stan.
Okay, some Captain America's Bucky action. Got it. Last thing, if we wanted to go out for dinner with you, where would you like to go?
If you're going to go out to dinner with me, there's this chain of restaurants that I love. It's all owned by the same person. So it's called Elefante, Bell's Beach House, and Cassie's Beach Club. They're all the same brand.
What kind of food do they serve?
Mediterranean, Italian.
Sounds wonderful. Now, everybody, please check out The Goons. It's her first film. She needs your support. Alexis White, thank you for being on the show. Have a great day.
Absolutely.